He wanted to be baptized, and old Cassius said, "Me too." I'm going to remember that one for a while. Well, the topic you have heard it said is not a bad one for the Sunday before Valentine's, but that's actually not what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus' familiar words about salt and light. Psalm 112 talks a bit about shining with light, but I think we'll move right to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, beginning with the 13th verse. "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And we're thinking a little more about Jesus not abolishing the law in next week's sermon. But I thought we'd listen to the salt and light text in one other form this morning.
You are the light of the world.
You are the light of the world.
But if that light is under a bushel, brr, it's lost something kind of crucial.
You got to stay bright to be the light of the world.
You are the salt of the earth.
You are the salt of the earth.
But if that salt has lost its flavor, it ain't got much in its favor.
You can't have that fault and be the salt of the earth.
Thanks to the folks from Godspell. There's an old legend that says when Jesus returned to heaven following his time on earth, he was asked by an angel, "Who have you left on earth to carry on the work of the Almighty?" Jesus answered, "A little band of men and women who love me." The angel said, "But what if they fail when the difficulties come? Will all you have done be defeated? Jesus responded, yes, if they fail, then all I have done will be defeated. The angel asked, then there's nothing more? Jesus answered, no, there's nothing more, but they will not fail. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And they will not fail. I had a tough conversation with a church member not long ago, the kind of conversation no minister likes to have. This person, relatively new to the church, had gotten very involved, indeed had been quite helpful in a number of ways around here, but was now feeling a little overwhelmed, feeling the need to pull back, maybe had gotten in just a little too deep, too fast, thinking maybe even I should stay away from the church for a while. No hostility, no anger, just a little burned out and feeling the need to step back and kind of rethink priorities. It happens. Makes me sad, but it happens. Perhaps some of you have felt that way from time to time. Heavens, maybe some of you are feeling that way right now. If Gene calls, I'm not home. And I imagine there are Sundays when you come to church and it seems like we're busy trying to get you all to do something, volunteer here, give something there, stay for a meeting, save this date. You ought, you must, you should. Now, I hope that generally your experience of church and worship is a little more positive than that, but I know there are times. It's easy to become the church in the imperative mode. Do this! And then we come to our text for today. Familiar words from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You are salt, you are light. No should, ought, or must. This is the gospel made personal. Jesus doesn't say we ought to be salt or that we should be light. Note, he says we are salt. We are light. He doesn't tell us what we should be. He affirms what we already are. It is in our nature to savor the world with the gospel, to shine with the light of the gospel. Briny and bright, as our call to worship said. I love that. Briny and bright. I once saw this sign in a church. You may be the only Bible that someone reads. Kind of shuddered when I saw that. Not too sure how I feel about that. Not sure this is something I really signed up for. My life as an expression, an embodiment of the gospel of Christ. My life as the only light in a dark world that someone may ever see? That's not me. I mean, I'm just a guy, huh? Salt and light. How can that be me? I once heard a sermon say, ministry, something like this. I know that you think you're here this morning because you chose to be here. You were people of good habits, and you came out of habit. Perhaps you were searching for a bit of a boost in your life and thought you might get it here. But what if you were here this morning because God put you here? What if the work you are doing, you're not doing for yourself? What if the life you are living isn't really your own? What if you came here looking for light, here to worship the light of the world, only to have Jesus tell you that you are the light of the world? this text functions as kind of an unexpected and perhaps not entirely welcome wake-up call. It reminds us what we carry in our very souls, in our bones, nothing less than the living presence of God. A God who bids us be salt in this world in all of our savory particularity. To be light in the way that only we can blaze. In one of his best-selling books, Robert Fulghum talks about Alexander Papaderos. Papaderos grew up in Greece, raised as a child in a remote village by parents who were very poor. If you'd have known him in his youth, you'd have thought, just a guy. Nothing extraordinary about him. One day during the German occupation of Greece during World War II, a German motorcycle wrecked in Papaderos' village. He was just a boy at the time. He described how he found broken pieces of a mirror that had been attached to the motorcycle handlebars. It was so shattered he could not put it back together, so he just kept the largest piece of the mirror. And little by little over time, he kind of worked with it until it was about the size of a quarter, which he could then carry in his pocket wherever he went. He loved how he could use it to reflect sunlight into dark places where the sun didn't shine. Years passed. Papaderos became an honored and respected political leader, renowned for his efforts as a peacemaker and for bringing justice to the poor and the afflicted. He was once asked to reflect on the meaning of his life. Reaching into his pocket, he took out a small mirror, the one he had found as a boy. He shared how he'd acquired this mirror, how it became a game for him to reflect it into dark places. And then he said this, "As I became a man, I grew to understand that this is not just a child's game, but actually what I might do with my life. Light, that is truth and understanding and knowledge, is here, but it will only shine if I reflect it. I'm only a fragment of a mirror whose design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world, into the dark places of the human heart, and perhaps change some things in people. This is what I'm about. This is the meaning of life to me." Now, it might be that a great man like Alexander Papaderos seems way too distant. I'm not him. But how about this? And I've written about this. A few weeks ago, a young boy showed up at the church office with his mother, 8 years old. Wanted to do something, she said, saving some money and kind of wanted to give it to help somebody. Well, by God's grace, Joyce Cox from our Mission Outreach Board was in the office that day. And she shared with him, a little bit of what our homeless outreach has been, the monthly lunches, the weekly bag lunches, showers, and doing other things, bus tickets. And he liked that. Said he'd like to help. He handed over $150. Said, "Use this." 8-year-old boy. I think of little hands saving over time those precious coins. And then one afternoon, giving it all away. No one told him to be light, to be salt. He already knew it. It was a marvelous, generous expression of who he already was, who he is. How savory have you been lately? How has light found its way into you and through you? Because it's there. You see, it's already there. Perhaps our 125 days of caring can be not just one more thing the church is telling me to do, but really an opportunity to express your inner light, your innate saltiness. Now, I am well aware, you know this text, you know this sermon, you've heard this before. There's nothing startlingly new I'm saying today. And yet, it just seems like it's important to keep saying it. I mean, for example, how are we going to keep, well, you saw the kids today, how are we going to keep our children and grandchildren in the faith? How are we going to raise up a new generation of followers of Jesus if we don't keep saying it? And not just saying it, but living it. Being who we already are, letting our light shine, because they're paying attention. They notice. The other day I was working with a laptop at home, trying to make some reservations for something, and for unknown reasons to me, it just decided it didn't want to work anymore. And then when it came back on, everything I had done was gone. I uttered a mild phrase of discouragement. Well, our grandson Ben happened to be staying with us at the time. Couldn't wait to run in and tell Grandma. Grandpa said a bad word. They're paying attention. Okay? And they can know the bad words, but they can also know when truly we're letting our light shine for all to see. Because at its heart, you know, in spite of all the madness and craziness and lostness that would pull us in any number of directions, that would have us forget who we are, at its heart, life truly is being salt and light. And I think people want that. I believe people want the opportunity to express this deep truth about themselves. College chaplain shares this final story. We had this recruiter come to campus from the Teach for America program, a program that attempts to recruit bright young students from America's colleges to give 2 years of their lives teaching children in some of America's most difficult and deprived school systems. That's how our older daughter ended up in rural Louisiana for a couple years. He continues, but to an auditorium full of Duke University seniors, this recruiter said, "Looking at you tonight, I honestly don't know why I'm here. You are the privilege. You are beneficiaries of the best of this nation's educational system. I can tell just by looking at you that you are all bound for Wall Street or law school or med school. And here I stand trying to recruit you for a salary of $15,000 a year, working in some of the worst school situations in America, begging you to waste your life for a bunch of kids in the backwoods of Appalachia or the inner city of Philadelphia. I must have been crazy to come here. But I do have some literature, and I'd be willing to talk to anybody who happens to be interested. But I know all of you want to be successful. And here I'm inviting you into something where you may very well fail. So feel free to leave. But if by chance there's anybody here who is interested, I'm willing to stay and talk with you." Says the chaplain, with that, every single student in the auditorium stood up and stampeded to the front, wanting so much to give their lives to something more interesting than conventional American success, wanting so much to give themselves to something bigger and more important than themselves. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Dream big about that. Take courage and faithfully live it. and we will not fail.